وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. And the disbelievers planned, but Allah also planned. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the best of planners. We learned in the previous verses that when Isa alayhi salam presented the clear miracles to the Bani Israel, most of them showed only kufr to him. They only expressed kufr. And upon that, he openly called that, who is going to be my helper so that I can convey the message of Allah to the people? And the Hawariyun said that, we will be your helpers. So they were the ones who believed, they were the ones who followed. And now we see that as Isa alayhi salam was gaining the help of the Hawariyun, at the same time, the opposition of the disbelievers from amongst the Bani Israel also increased. So makaru, they plotted, they planned. Who plotted? The disbelievers from among the Bani Israel, those who did not believe in Isa alayhi salam. They plotted against him. Why? In order to harm him, in order to kill him. And at the same time, وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. And Allah also planned to counter their plot. The word makr is from the root letters mim kaf ra, and makr is used for a secret plan. It is used for a secret move in order to afflict someone with something makruh, with something that is disliked. So what is makr? A secret plan or a move in order to afflict the other with something that is makruh, with something that is disliked, something that is harmful. And it is also a plan to divert the other from his purpose, to not let him be successful in obtaining his goal. And generally, the word makr has a negative connotation. It has a negative meaning. Because if somebody is trying to get something, if somebody is trying to do something, only someone who is very negative or someone who does not wish well for the other is going to stop him, is going to make his way difficult. He is going to make him unsuccessful in his work, or he is going to secretly try to harm him. So the word makr generally has a negative connotation, especially when it is done by people. So makaru, they plotted secretly, meaning they did not expose their plan to Isa alayhi salam. And what was the purpose of this plan? It was to harm Isa alayhi salam. It was to kill him. And it was also to not let him be successful in his mission. What was his mission? What was his mission? To make the Bani Israel remember about what they were supposed to do. His mission was to revive the deen, was to revive the teachings of the Torah. So makaru, they plotted. And at the same time, wa makar Allah, and Allah also planned. Now remember, the word makr, as I mentioned to you earlier, it has a negative connotation to it. So how come this word is being used for Allah? Why? As we read in Surah Al-Baqarah, that the munafiqeen, what do? يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They try to deceive Allah and the believers. But at another place in the Quran, we learn that Allah is the one who deceives them. Similarly, the munafiqun, what do? Yastahzi'un, they mock. And what did we learn? Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah is the one who mocks at them. So when the same word is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is it used? Many times in the Arabic language and also in the Quran, the same word is used and it gives a different meaning, or it conveys a different meaning. So, makr over here, in the case of the disbelievers, it gives a meaning of something that is negative. But when the same word is used in respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives a meaning of countering their plot. It gives a meaning of punishing them for their plot. Just as they mock, and Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, what does it mean by that? That Allah counters their mocking. Or Allah is going to punish them for their mocking. They try to deceive, and Allah is the one who deceives them in return. How? That Allah counters their deception, or Allah will punish them for their deception. So similarly, the word makr for the disbelievers, yes, it gives a negative meaning. It gives the sense of them trying to kill Isa alayhi salam. But over here, when the word makr is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that He will punish them for their makr, or that He countered their makr with His plan. Which is why when we translate the word makr, for the disbelievers we say, they plotted. Because plot has a negative connotation. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we say, He planned. Right? Because it has a positive connotation. So وَمَكَرُوا, and they plotted. وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ, and Allah also planned. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of planners. Makirin is a plural of makir. What was their plot? What did they try to do? We see that Isa alayhi salam, on one hand, he gained support from the Hawariyun, from the disciples. And on the other side, on the other hand, the enemies, the disbelievers, they became more intense in their opposition. They planned not just to harm him, but to also kill him, and to make him fail in obtaining his goal. But remember, the person who is working for the cause of Allah, the person who is serving the deen of Allah, the person who is striving for the sake of Allah, he is never abandoned by Allah. Allah does not leave him alone. Which is why, وَمَكَرُوا, they were all plotting. They were all trying to harm him. They were all trying to make him unsuccessful. But Allah also planned to counter their plotting. So Allah does not leave His servant alone. We learn in the Quran, وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. Allah will surely and definitely help the one who helps him. So someone who is working for the deen of Allah, Allah is never going to leave him. Allah is never going to abandon him. He is going to be in his help. And we learn this from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also faced great opposition and hostility from the people of Mecca. And when he came to Medina and the Ansar joined him, what happened? Still the mushrikeen, the people of Mecca, they opposed him. And rather they increased in their opposition. But every time they tried to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported the Muslims. To the extent that when they went for battle, the first battle, the Muslims were only 300, and the mushrikeen were much more than them. But Allah helped who? Those who were serving Him. Those who were in His way. So similarly, Isa alayhi salam was alone, and he had only 12 disciples, 12 helpers. But, وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ, Allah planned in their favor. Allah countered the plot of those who were plotting against Him. Because Allah does not leave His servant alone. And over here we see, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, Allah is the best of planners. How? Because He has the most power. He has the most knowledge. All of the means are within His hands, are with Him. The people, they only have limited means. They only have limited abilities. And they can try their best to harm the servant of Allah. But if Allah does not allow, can they do anything? They cannot do anything. Which is why we see that the Prophet ﷺ, so many times the people attempted to kill him. So many times. But never were they successful. Never. Because Allah is in the support of His servant, is in aid of His servant, when a servant of Allah is in Allah's way. So whenever we face an opposition, some difficulty, don't give up. Don't give up. When other people are plotting against you, are trying to harm you, are trying to stop you, are trying to make you fail, don't worry. Allah is planning for you. Now what was their plot? We learned that the Bani Israel, the disbelievers from amongst them, they accused Isa alayhi salam of apostasy in their religious courts. You see, the Bani Israel, where did they live? In Jerusalem. But part of their kingdom was under Roman rule. Okay? Part of their kingdom was under the Roman rule. So, first of all, because it was a religious issue, what did they do? They took this issue, the matter of Isa alayhi salam, to their religious courts. And over there, they accused him of apostasy, that he has left the religion. He's a rebel, he has left the religion, so he must be assassinated, he must be killed, he must not be allowed to live. And the ruling was passed against him in their religious courts. Just as with many Muslims today even, many Muslim scholars, if others don't like them or they disagree with them, what do? They take that issue to a particular mufti, and what happens? The mufti gives a fatwa against that particular scholar or against that particular person who is giving da'wah, right? It's very common. So similarly, they did the same thing. They took this issue to their religious scholars who passed a verdict against Isa alayhi salam, and that verdict was that he must be killed. He must be assassinated. Why? Because he's a rebel, he's an apostate, and therefore he must not be allowed to live. But because it was only a religious court, they did not have the authority to implement anything. Just as even today, the Muslim scholars, they may give a lot of fatawa, but many times they don't have the authority to implement their ruling. So similarly, their religious scholars also could not implement this ruling. They could not go ahead and assassinate him. But the Bani Israel wanted him away, because he was telling them of things that they did not like. They did not want to hear those things. So what did they do? They went to the Roman court then. And they went to the Roman court, which was obviously not Muslim at that time. And they charged Isa alayhi salam of trying to work against the Romans. So they incited the Roman government against him. And they called Isa alayhi salam a threat to the Roman kingdom, to the Roman rule. And obviously, if you tell someone that this religious figure is a threat to your country, is a threat to your government, what's going to happen? They're going to feel threatened. Even if that religious person is only one. Even if that religious group is a minority. So similarly, the Romans, they were incited against Isa alayhi salam, and they decided to kill him. Not just kill him, but also crucify him. But this is very interesting. Who took this issue to the Roman court? The Bani Israel. Who were they? The Muslims of their time. And whose issue were they taking to the non-believers? Of a believer, of someone amongst them. Why? Because he was saying something that they did not like. He was saying something that they did not want to listen to. And this is something that we see common in the Muslims as well. That the Muslims incite others against other Muslims. If you have a problem with another believer, go talk to him. Go try to stop him. Try to make him understand. Why are you inciting others against your own self? Especially if it's just a difference in fiqh. Sometimes really it's just a difference in fiqh. And so much problems are created for other Muslims, for other people. And this is something that happened even at the time of Prophet ﷺ. When the Muslims migrated to Habasha, when they migrated to Abyssinia, what happened? The Quraysh, the people of Mecca, they came after them over there. And what did they say to the Najashi? That these people are a threat. These people have left us. They have created great facade in our community. And now they're here. If you let them be, they're going to create facade as well. But what did Najashi do? Did he just believe in them? No. He listened to the other side as well, because he was fair and just. So he heard the Muslims as well. And then he did not let the mushrikeen take the Muslims back with them. He let them stay in Habasha, because he was just. So when this happened, basically, they had everyone turn against Isa alayhi salam, and it was all decided that Isa alayhi salam was going to be assassinated. But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also had a plan. Wa makar Allah. Allah also had a plan. He was not going to abandon his servant alone. And what was the plan of Allah? That he was going to save Isa alayhi salam. How exactly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save him? That is mentioned in the next ayah, that Allah raised Isa alayhi salam up to the heavens. Now there are many opinions with regards to how exactly that happened. And even amongst the Christians, there is no unanimous opinion. Every sect, every group has their own story. So there is no need to go into the details of different versions of the story, because at the end of the day, all that we need to know is that Allah helped Isa alayhi salam, and He did not allow the disbelievers to overcome him. He did not allow anyone to kill him. As we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 157, Allah says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. But the matter was made ambiguous to them. So the matter was made ambiguous to them. The reality is, they did not kill him, they did not crucify him. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. For sure, they did not kill him. Some have said that another man, he was given the appearance of Isa alayhi salam. Who was that man? There are also two opinions about that. That some say that it was actually one of the disciples who volunteered. Others say that no, it was someone who had deceived Isa alayhi salam, and he was given the appearance, given the look of Isa alayhi salam, and he was the one who was killed. He was the one who was crucified. Isa alayhi salam was not crucified. At the end of the day, whoever was crucified, Allahu alam. All we need to know is that Allah helped Isa alayhi salam, and he did not let the unbelievers overcome him. He did not let them kill him. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They did not crucify him, they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but the matter was made ambiguous to them. There are so many people who spend so much time in trying to figure out what exactly happened. But the fact is, you cannot know. Because there are so many stories, so many versions, so many differences, you cannot know. All you need to know is that Allah was in the help of His servant. How did Allah help Isa alayhi salam? إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ. When Allah said, this was the plan of Allah. Ya Isa, O Isa alayhi salam, inni mutawaffika. Indeed, I am going to take you fully. Wa rafi'uka ilayya, and I am going to raise you up to me. Wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafaru, and I am going to purify you from those people who have disbelieved. This was the makr of Allah. Mutawaffika. Mutawaffi is from the root letters waw, fa, ya, from the word wafa, which means to fulfill something, to complete something, to do something fully. And from this, tawaffa, from which is the word mutawaffi. Mutawaffi is one who raises. So tawaffi is to take something fully. What does it mean? To do qabd, to take something fully, completely and fully. And this can be done in three ways. The tawaffi of human beings can be done in three ways. First of all, it is tawaffi fin naum. It is to take only partial soul of a person. So the ruh departs the body, leaves the body partially. And what is that? It's in the state of an-naum. It's in the state of sleep. Like we learn in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 60, Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. He is the one who takes you fully during the night. Does it mean that all of us die in the night? No. We're still alive, our bodies are still functioning, but our ruh, partially, is gone. Which is why sleep is known as the sister of death, because they resemble a lot. Right? So, first type of tawaffi is tawaffi fi an-nawm, in which the ruh is partially taken away, and that is done in the sleep. The second type of tawaffi is tawaffi fi al-maut. And what does that mean? It is when the ruh leaves the body completely and fully. And this also we learn in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 42. Allah says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusu hina mawtiha. Allah is the one who takes the souls when? At the time of death. So when a person dies, his soul fully leaves him. And when the soul has fully departed, the body also does not function anymore. How is it different from the first case? In the first case, in the state of sleep, what happens? The soul leaves, okay, but the body is still functioning. And the soul is returned to the body. Which is why when we wake up in the morning, what do we say? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. And the second type of tawaffi is at the time of death, in which the soul is fully taken away. As soon as the soul departs the body is dead. It's finished. The third type of tawaffi is tawaffi of ruh and of badn, which is when the soul and the body are both taken. They are both taken. They're fully taken, both of them. The soul is fully taken and the body is fully taken. And it does not necessarily mean death. Remember that. It does not necessarily mean death. Just as the Prophet ﷺ, when he went for Mi'raj, was it only his soul? No. It was a physical journey. Was he sleeping? No. It was a conscious journey. So, he went how? with his soul and also physically, spiritually, mentally, as well as physically. So over here when Allah says that mutawaffika, I am going to take you fully, what does it mean by this? This means, scholars have given two meanings to this. That first of all, Isa a.s. was going to be lifted up with his body and soul, which is the third meaning of the word tawaffi. What is the third meaning of tawaffi? To take both the ruh and the badan. So Isa a.s. was going to be lifted up with both body and soul. And this is similar to how the Prophet ﷺ went on the journey of Mi'raj. The Prophet ﷺ did not die. He was not sleeping. The body and the soul both went. Secondly, scholars have said that this means that I will cause you to sleep and then I will lift you. I will cause you to sleep and then I will lift you. So in other words, I will take you while you are sleeping, because we learn Surah Al-An'am, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. He is the one who takes you by night, meaning when you're sleeping. So when you're sleeping, Allah will take you. Because if you think about it, the physical journey from the earth up to the heavens is something very difficult. Is something very difficult. So Allahu A'lam, how exactly it happened, but all we know is that Allah took Isa alayhi salam. How? With body and with soul. وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ, and I'm going to raise you to myself. رَافِعُ is from رَافَعَيْن, رَافْع. And what does that mean? To raise something, to elevate something. And remember, رَافَعَ is done both in the tangible sense and also in the intangible sense. Tangible sense, like for example, you lift something up. Something was on the ground, you lift it up and you put it on the table. رَافَعَ. Tangible sense. And also in the intangible sense, how? That you elevate the rank of something. You elevate the status of something. So رَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ has also been understood in two ways. What? That first of all, I'm going to lift you up in the tangible sense. And this supports the meaning of مُتَوَفِّيكَ. That I'm going to take you up, not just your soul, but also your body. رَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ. I'm going to take you up to the heavens. Without death. And secondly, رَافِعُكَ has been understood as that I'm not just going to take you up to the heavens, but I'm also going to raise you up in the intangible sense, meaning I'm going to elevate your status. I'm going to elevate your ranks. So, Isa alayhi salam's status was also increased by degrees. Thirdly, وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and I'm going to purify you from those people who disbelieve. مُطَهِّرُ from تَطْهِير, which is to purify, to cleanse something. So I'm going to cleanse you from those people who disbelieve. Disbelieved in who? Disbelieved in you. So those people who don't believe in you, what did these people try to do? They accused him, they blamed him, they opposed him, they hurled accusations at him. So Allah said, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to purify you from their blames, from their false accusations, from their plots. I'm going to purify you completely. None of their blames, none of their accusations are going to be proven true. No, I'm going to cleanse you. وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ, and I'm going to make those people who followed you. اتَّبَعُوكَ from اتِّبَع. So those people who follow you, notice, it hasn't been said those people who just believe in you. Believing and اتِّبَع, there's a difference between the two. Believing is only the first step, and اتِّبَع is a level above that. So I'm going to make those people who follow you. Who are those people who follow Isa alayhi salam? Two opinions have been given. First of all, it has been said that it refers to the Muslim Ummah, the Muslims. Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How do they do his ittiba? That they believe, that the Muslim Ummah, they believed in his prophethood. They believed in his prophethood. They confirmed that he was the kalima of Allah. Others have said that الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ, it refers to the Nasara, the Christians. It refers to the Christians. So those people who follow you, meaning those people who follow you in Aqidah, they have the same belief as you, the Muslim Ummah. Those people who confirm your truthfulness. I am going to make them فوق, above who? الذين كفروا, those people who disbelieve in you, إلى يوم القيامة, until the day of judgment. So until the day of judgment, those people who follow you are going to be dominant over those people who disbelieve in you. Which is why if you look at it, if you combine the meaning of الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ as Muslims and the Christians, they are more in number, in rank, in honor, with respect to evidence, with respect to having the truth, above all those people who don't believe in Isa alayhi salam. So I am going to make those people who follow you above those people who disbelieve in you. Until when? Until the day of judgment. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ Then to me is your return. مَرْجِعُ is ra jim عَيْن Rujur, which means to return, and مَرْجِعُ is a مَصْدَر, which means return. So to me is your return, and notice it's kum. Who does you all refer to? You all refers to all the people, whether they believe in Isa alayhi salam or they don't believe in Isa alayhi salam. Because two groups have been mentioned over here, الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ and الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, which includes the whole mankind. So ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ Then all of you, O you mankind, your return is to me. فَأَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ Then I'm going to judge between all of you. أَحْكُمُ from حُكُم. And what does حُكُم mean? To pass a judgment. And not just pass a judgment, but also have the authority and ability to implement that judgment. Because many can decide, they can pass judgments, they can give fatwa, but they don't have the ability to implement it. So فَأَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ I'm going to judge between you, that I'm going to decide as to who was right and who was wrong, and after that decision I'm also going to implement it. How? By rewarding those people who were on the right and punishing those people who were on the wrong. فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ In that which you used to differ in. تَخْتَلِفُونَ is from خَا لَمْ فَ So we see over here that Isa alayhi salam was not only saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah also gave good news to Isa alayhi salam. And what was that? That those people who believe in you, who follow you, they are going to remain dominant over those who don't believe in you until the day of judgment. And then on the day of judgment, all of you are going to return to me, and I'm going to decide as to who was right and who was wrong with regards to the matters that you all differed in. Now the question is, who does you all refer to, and what is it that you all differed in? As I mentioned earlier, you all refers to those people who believe and follow Isa alayhi salam and those people who disbelieve. So who does it include? The Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews. Now what are the differences that the Muslims, Jews, and Christians have? There are many, but especially it is with regards to Isa alayhi salam. The most common differences are with regards to Isa alayhi salam. What are those differences? First of all, with regards to the prophethood of Isa alayhi salam. The Christians say that he was son of God. In fact, not all Christians say that. Some say that he himself is God, or he is one of three. That he's not a prophet, he's not a human being, but rather, he is God. The Jews, what did they do? They completely denied him. And the Muslims, they say that he was a prophet of Allah. He was the abd of Allah, he was the rasul of Allah. Similarly, another difference with regards to Isa alayhi salam is about his birth. About his birth. That the Christians say that he's a son of God. The Jews say that he is walad al-zina. He's a child that was born out of zina. And the Muslims say that he was out of miraculous birth. It was a miracle of Allah. Then there is another difference that these groups differ in. And what is that with regards to the lifting up to the heavens of Isa alayhi salam? The Christians say that he was crucified, then he was brought to life after 3 days, and then he was raised up. This is only one opinion that the Christians have. That he was crucified, then after 3 days, he was raised up to the heavens. There are others who disagree with that. What do the Jews say? That he was killed on the cross. He was not raised up. What do the Muslims say? That he was raised up to the heavens and he was not killed. Because what does Allah say? وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوا They did not kill him, they did not crucify him. The Prophet ﷺ said that indeed Isa alayhi salam did not die, and indeed he will return to you before the day of judgment. So the Muslims believe that he will return to the dunya near the day of judgment, before the day of judgment, and then he will die a natural death. So with all of these differences that people have today, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, what does Allah say about them? That all of you are going to return to me. And then I'm going to judge with regards to these differences. But the fact is that Allah has told us about the truth. That's why the Quran was sent, right? the differences that the Jews and the Christians had, which is why the Quran was sent to inform the people about the truth. You can't say the Muslims are possibly wrong. No, because what the Muslims believe is based upon the Quran. So the Quran already tells us about the truth. So what is this judgment about on the Day of Judgment? This judgment is about rewarding those people who are upon the truth and punishing those people who are upon the falsehood. Rewarding those people who accepted the truth and punishing those people who denied the truth despite having recognized the truth and leading many, many people astray. Because we see, Isa alayhi salam presented clear miracles. The Jews had no reason to deny him. They had no reason to deny him. But still they denied. So this difference, is it going to be left like this till the Day of Judgment? No, Allah clarified the truth to us in the dunya. So on the Day of Judgment, what's this decision about? About rewarding the truthful, those upon the haq, and punishing those who are upon the falsehood. Which is why the next verse says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. So as for those people who disbelieved in who? In Isa alayhi salam, فَأُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. So I shall punish them a severe punishment. Why? Because he was a messenger of Allah. And he presented the truth. He presented miracles that could not be denied, that could not be rejected. So if someone disbelieves like that, he's going to get a severe punishment because his kufr is very severe. Therefore, the adab is also very severe. Where will he be punished? فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. In this world and also in the hereafter. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ. And they will have no helpers at all. Who is a nasir? Someone who helps you. Someone who comes and helps you out of a difficulty that you're in. So they will not have any helpers in the dunya or in the akhirah. What punishment is this? This punishment is in the dunya and also in the akhirah. So for example, in the dunya, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, what happened with those people who disbelieved in Isa ﷺ? The Bani Israel, what happened with them? They were killed, they were captured, they were defeated, they lost their wealth, they lost their kingdom, they lost their prestige. And also in the intangible sense, that the honor that they enjoyed was taken away from them, from the Bani Israel, given to Bani Ismail. So, أُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And obviously the punishment of the hereafter is worse and much more severe. And on the other hand, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And as for those people who believe, and didn't just say that we're believers, but وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And they also did righteous deeds. فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. So Allah will fully give them their wages. يُوَفِّي, again, is from وَوْفَيَا, which is to give in full. So Allah will give them in full أُجُورَهُمْ. أُجُور is a plural of أجر. And what is an أجر? A wage. What is a wage? Paycheck. What you get after doing some work. So Allah will give them their wages. Why? Because they did some work. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. عَمَلُ. So they did something. So Allah will give them their wages. When? On the Day of Judgment. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah does not love the ظَالِمِينَ. He does not like those people who do ظُلْم. Who is the person who does ظُلْم? The one who takes the right of the other. The one who does not give the other his right. If the messenger has come, his right is that he must be believed in. He must be supported. And the one who opposes the messenger, the one who denies the messenger, does not help him, what is he doing? ظُلْم. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not love such people. And when Allah does not love such people, obviously He is going to punish them. ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ. That, نَتْلُوهُ, we recite it, عَلَيْكَ, upon you. What does ذَلِكَ refer to? The story of Isa alayhi salam. And before the story of Isa alayhi salam, of Maryam alayhi salam. And before her, of Zakariya alayhi salam. And before him, Hanna, Alu Imran. So ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ, we recite it, عَلَيْكَ, upon you. We recite this upon you. And this story that we're reciting upon you, it is min al-ayat, of the ayat, of the verses. Meaning of the ayat, of the signs that indicate the truthfulness of your messengership, of your prophethood, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we learned in the previous ayat, that ma kunta ladayhim, you are not with them, you are not in their presence. So how come you're telling the story of Alu Imran? How come you're telling the story of Isa alayhi salam? How come? What is it based on? The knowledge of revelation. So this, we are reciting to you of the ayat, and these ayat, they prove your truthfulness. وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ. And the wise message, the precise message. A dhikr, as you know, is a reminder. It's also used for a message. And al-hakim, wise, one that passes a judgment. So what is al-dhikr al-hakim? Al-dhikr al-hakim is the Qur'an. What is al-dhikr al-hakim? The Qur'an. Why is it called al-dhikr al-hakim? Because there is message in the Qur'an. There is dhikr in the Qur'an. And this dhikr, this message is full of what? Is full of hikmah. It is dhul hikmah. So the Qur'an contains message, it contains reminders, and it also contains a lot of wisdom. And the messages that are in the Qur'an are precise and wise. They're full of wisdom. Which is why we see that this lesson, or these stories that we have read, they're only stories, if you think of it. But there are so many lessons that can be drawn. So many lessons. Especially the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated the story upon us. How Allah has narrated the story in the Qur'an. There's so many messages, so many lessons to be learned. So this is a dhikr al-hakim. This is dhikr of al-hakim. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ ثم إلي مرجعكم فأحكم بينكم فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون فأما الذين كفروا فأعذبهم عذابا شديدا في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم من ناصرين وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ ذَلِكَ نَتْلُوهُ عَلَيْكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَالذِّكْرِ الْحَكِيمِ.
So what's the main lesson of these ayat? That the one who helps Allah, Allah helps him. The one who helps the deen of Allah, Allah also helps him. And another very important lesson that we learn is that once a person sees the truth, recognizes the truth, recognizes something to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he must accept it. Because denial is only going to go against him in this dunya and also in the akhirah.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.